Last week, we started a message on hope. Isaiah 40, 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like wings on eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. This week, we're going to talk about faith, and faith and hope go together. I invite you to stand here on this solid rock that Pastor Jeff led us through. Stand on this solid rock and take a deep dive. Take a journey into faith, your faith, our faith collectively. You know, I'm at that place on my outline where I'm supposed to pray now. If I follow what I wrote, I don't feel that today. I want to ask this congregation to join me as we recite the Lord's Prayer all together. Our Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive the trespass against us, and lead us, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, ever and ever. Thank you, that was beautiful. Thy will be done, not mine. Thy. Last week we kind of dove into the concept of hope. We used a few examples. We used the example of the local big national bass tournament that was here last month with 100 of the best fishermen in the world. And we use that as earthly hope, and we talked about godly hope with the 30 beautiful souls, starting with Mr. Winslow, Mr. Whitehurst, and a few others in 1943, let's start a church, and in 1946, opened it. See, one of these groups had hope but not faith, and one of those groups had hope and faith. We went into the details of living hope, future hope, present hope. Well, if we're going to take a deep dive into faith, a simple man like me needs a definition first. Where else would any Christian go to determine what faith is other than Hebrews 11, 1? Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we can't see. There's some words in my life that fascinate me, and faith is one of them. We use it so easily. It just rolls off our lips. But when we use that word, do we really understand the very meaning given to us in Scripture that we just read? Do we really understand it? And more importantly, how hard is it for us to live our lives with that definition of faith? What we hope for. The reality of what we hope for. I think it's easy, at least for me, to see the link between faith and hope. Hope is clearly a byproduct of faith, certainly for me. I don't know how you separate them. Without faith in our Lord and Savior, I don't know what I'm going to hope for. But let's get back to faith. We will start with what we read in Scripture, 11:1, beautiful. What does our Lord and His Word teach us about faith? I talked about last week how many times the word hope is in the Bible. I think I came up with 150 plus, depending on which translation you have. Well, how about faith? Between 500 and 600 times, depending on the Bible you read. 500 to 600 times. So clearly, the Lord has placed in His Word the strong emphasis on the Word and the action. See, it's more than just words. Throughout the Scriptures, we're encouraged to maintain faith. We are taught the lessons of faith. We're given examples of great things that will happen with faith. In a few minutes, I'm going to talk about faith heroes. We're told that faith the size of a mustard seed will move a mountain. So if this word, this action, this direction from our Lord is so important, for me, the question is, how do we collectively maintain a level of faith that we're encouraged to have? Again, I got to look at it at the basic level. So if I'm told to have great faith, if I'm taught to have great faith, for a guy like me, I need to know what is the standard. What's the faith standard? Do we have the faith of Job, Abraham, or any of the great heroes that we read about in the Bible? Are we supposed to? How do I measure faith to see if I'm on track? See, I don't know of any tangible data or information I could get. Is it gallons of faith? Is it pounds of faith? I don't know of any measurement that would tell me. I go to the doctor like you guys do. I get data, most of it which I don't understand. He has to explain it, you know, glucose and cholesterol and two other pages of numbers. I just look to see if I'm good or not. Can I ask my doctor to measure my level of faith? Sorry, Robert, your faith level is 20 and the standard is 50 to 70. You're in trouble. Oh, doc, what do? You got a pill for this? What am I going to do, doc? No, he don't have nothing for us. So where do I place faith in everyday life? We have faith the sun will rise tomorrow. We have faith in the love of our family. What about more practical issues? When we're going somewhere and we get on a plane, we kind of sort of have to have faith in the pilot and all the mechanical stuff that goes with a plane. A little bit of this. Some folks have faith in their favorite sports team or athlete, even when they know it's wasted, Redskin fan right here. And, of course, I know of a few people in here that are very dedicated to their college athletics. In this age where it occurs to me that we need to touch things, we need to feel things, how do we acknowledge faith? How do we know it when we see it? I'm not gonna trip across it, you know, meandering through the house, you know, while looking for my lost keys or forever the TV remote. I'm not gonna trip. Ooh. There's where I left faith. Okay, I want to dig deeper into this. Let's dig deep into our souls and evaluate ourselves and our own actions. For me, I always thought I fully understood the direction from our Lord to maintain faith in Him, in His love, His protection of me and my family, my loved ones. And then I get tested. Ruh-roh. Then I get tested. Sometimes I fail miserably. See, I talked about this last week. For me, and maybe you, to have faith in the Lord, I must relinquish control. I mean total control. Control over my emotions. Control over my actions. And this is the big one, guys. I'm not good at this. And be willing to accept whatever the outcome the Lord decides is best. Why is that hard? We're all Christians here. We all study. We're all committed to our faith. Why is that so hard? Why do we ask God for help yet refuse to turn the situation over to Him? Some of us, at times, we may take this approach. Lord, will you take this part of the issue? And I got the other part. I talked that last week. Maybe the part I don't really want you to know about. Yeah, like I'm going to hide something. I really don't want you to have it all, Lord. I've got a few secrets I need to take care of first. Or worse, maybe I'm thinking, Lord, go do this, but I'm a little better equipped to handle this. No wonder my faith is a 20. I mean, that's not how it works. That's not how it works. Maybe we're reluctant to turn it over. Could it be that deep down we feel a little inadequate with our faith? You know, that whole measurement standard thing I talked about? Is my faith sufficient to relinquish it and give it? Lord, is my faith good enough to give this to you? Is my faith strong enough to give it to you? We read in Hebrews 11, 1 that defined faith. What do we see if we go past verse 1? Here come the faith superheroes. Excuse me. It was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. It was by faith Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when he called him to leave his home and go to another land that God would give him as an inheritance. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was barren and by all practical measures too old. It was by faith. You know what I'm going to say? It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice when God was testing him. Excuse me again, guys. Can it be that we see ourselves as just a normal person living right here in the year 2026? I'm just a regular old guy. Can't possibly measure up to the levels of faith displayed by these great heroes of the Bible. Who among us could offer our child as a human sacrifice and know in our heart that the Lord would save him? Who here could give up everything we know, sell everything we own, go to Ford on some new place on faith, and yes, thank God, mission committee, we know about the missionaries that have that calling, but let's face it, that's a pretty small number. Well, if I'm going to talk about that, I'm going to go back to the standard. Am I measured to the standard and the examples given in Hebrews? I'm doomed. Okay, right now, I'm doomed. I can't live up to that standard. But see, friends, we're so wrong when we assume that. The sheer beauty of our relationship with Christ and our faith is that our relationship with the Lord is individual, one-on-one. One-on-one. He's not grade us based on some criteria laid out in Scripture. There's no levels of love from our Lord. He does not love the biblical superheroes any more than he loves you and I. Here comes my favorite word in the Bible. By grace, he loves us all equally. And remember, he made all of us with our unique individual gifts. Gifts that he selected for us to completely complement all aspects of our makeup, our personality, our physical abilities, our minds. Now, he does, however, expect us to use those gifts for the advancement of his kingdom, not sit on your hands. But we're not evaluated against what others do or have a gift for. I can't sing. When y'all was doing that a minute ago, I was the one mouthing it. I can't sing, period. I'm not measured or evaluated based on the beauty of our choir singing. I'll never be Jeff, not even close. And my faith, it's the same with faith. It may never measure up to Pastor Sean or Pastor Richard or anybody else. But I'm going to use my faith to the fullest. I'm not held to that standard. I'm held to the standard that God put in my heart with the gifts that he gave me. To use my gifts, whatever they may be, to the fullest extent using the level of faith he put in me. All right, you got me. What's next? I'm following along so far. What's next? Maybe we're all here saying, well, okay, I think I'd like to grow my faith. That's good. Okay, to grow our faith, maybe we need to test our faith. Well, how do we do that? You may be asking. Well, let's look at another scripture, James 1, 2, and 3. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. All right, hold on. You stop right there, preacher. That seems like a bad way to grow. Wait for something bad to happen to grow. I told Bruce this morning when I saw him, I feel better. I can't preach here if I don't pick on my brother Bruce. Bruce and I spent a long time working together on ships. The way we knew that those ships were ready to go to sea is we tested everything to full capacity to make sure it would not break. I don't know. I'm not so sure that I'm up for having my faith tested to its full capacity. But see, what James is saying is not the way I read it. All of us face hard times in our lives, medical issues that we're not expecting, sometimes bad medical issues, family issues with parents and siblings and children and folks that we are close to and love, financial hardships that we don't understand and we don't know how we're going to get out from under them. Oh, the list is very long. What James is saying in verse 2 is to consider troubles an opportunity. to be an opportunity to be more Christ-like. See, when we have these troubles, we got options. We can default straight to self-pity. Oh, Lord, I've been a good guy. Why would you do this to me? Good old self-pity. We can rebel against everyone and everything, including Christ. How many times have you heard one say, why did God allow that to happen? He didn't allow it. Subject of another message. Or we can be tempted, as I talked earlier, to exercise control. I got it. I got this. I don't need any help. But worst of all, the worst I can do, the worst you can do, is give up. No hope. No hope. Or we can do as James says. Consider it great joy as we relinquish this to God. We rejoice that we have him to lean on. These problems are not intended, nor should they destroy you, but they should strengthen your Christian character and your faith. What about verse 3? When your faith is tested, your endurance grows. See, faith is something precious. It's another gift. Something so precious given to us along with grace. A gift of the Spirit. James is making sure we know when faith is tested, it is strengthened. Iron sharpens iron. Or think of a more common thought. When we work our muscles at a gym or even in everyday life, the tearing of the muscles builds stronger muscles. Testing our faith reveals to us and others that our faith is real and a foundation of our life. We have all heard people say that they faced a certain issue. And I've heard so many people say, but man, when I came out, my faith was so stronger. I said last week, and I got to say it again. All God is asking for is our all in all. He wants our love. He wants our devotion, our commitment, our dedication, and he wants us to have faith. He wants a personal relationship with each one of us. Not a relationship measured on what somebody sitting beside you is doing. He wants that personal one. In the conclusion of Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40 say, these and all those faith heroes we discussed, if you go past the ones I read, there are 13 other actual examples and several other generalized examples of faith. But he's saying all of these were commended for their faith, but are you ready for this? Yet none of them received what had been promised or what they expected, since God had planned something better. He planned something better for them and us, so that only together with us would we be made perfect. Did we hear this? None of those faith heroes received what they were initially expecting to receive, but better. Better. I mentioned this earlier, but when our faith is tempted, when things hurt so personally, we can't understand why God did not answer prayers. It's hard. It's hard, guys. It's hard to understand and accept it. Recently, I was talking to someone who's very dear to me. This person was questioning their faith as someone very dear to them died of cancer. The question to me, why? Why this person who was so young and has so much to live for? Why? Even the strongest Christians among us will ask that question. But here it is. The foundation of our relationship with God is total personal relationship with Him, dependent on Him. Nobody, talking about this personal love relationship now, nobody comes to a love relationship under duress or at the point of a sword. Doesn't happen. This relationship must be a free will decision that encompasses total faith in our Heavenly Father. That's what God intended all along. That's what He wants from us. We can't be great in the eyes of God by ourselves. We must be in union with Him and place full faith in Him. I have a thing I say often, really in the prison very often when the word faith comes up. This is the word we live by. This is it. This beautiful book doesn't have an index. It does, but not the index I'm going to talk about. Suppose it had an index that said, children dying of cancer go to James 1, 3 through 5, and you'll get your answer. If that were true, why would I have faith? If that information was given to me right here, what would faith do for me? I got a problem, I go to the index, I find it. Why did my house get repossessed? Name your problem. Our faith would mean nothing. Because we, as hard as it is, we may not always get the answer we want. But what we do have is faith in the Lord that He's got us. Let's wrap up. Last week and again this week, we gave two examples of hope. The fishermen had hope, but the only faith they had was on their own personal abilities. Then we had the 30 original members of this church who had hope, but supported by faith that the Lord would provide. Well, how did each group make out? Well, out of the 100 fishermen, one guy took home the $100,000 prize. Well, yay. Congrats. But see, his victory was short-lived and had no eternal value. He's off to the next event, where he's right back to one of 100. That victory last event didn't mean a thing to him. No eternal value. The 30 charter members had great eternal victory. By year 6, the membership doubled to 83. Now, as a result of those faithful 30, what do we got? Look around you. What do we got? We have a group of beautiful people here and those that came before you that have grown this church now in year 80, grown in membership, mission, impact on the... Read the bulletin any week. Listen to anything that's going on. The missions committee, the Kairos events, the school. This church affects its community. God has blessed this church with stability. Here we are, in year 80, and on pastor number 9. I almost didn't put it in here, but I got to say it. I don't mean to compare, but I've got one church that I support that's been through that many in the last 5 or 6 years, and I don't mean that to be funny. God bless those people. I pray for them. They're good people. I don't pretend to know what the problem is, but I know that this church has been blessed. This church. We're on pastor number 9. Let's take a challenge, folks. This week, let us multiple times read 11:1. Let us apply this to our lives. Make it a motto or a credo of how we live daily. Let's focus on the promise, not the problem. Let us understand and feel blessed that God goes before us, before the problem. When Pastor Richard went in to have his knee surgery a few weeks ago, God was already there. He beat him there. Richard didn't have to get there and say, "Don't get started, I got to wait on my Lord." He's ahead of him. He's ahead of you. He goes before you. God is waiting on us to join him in the solution and the joy that follows. Pastor Jeff, you want to come up with your guys? You will find in the foyer these little small crosses on the table where the T-shirt sign-up is. Yeah, they're tiny. I got them so they don't take up a lot of room in your pocket. Please grab one on the way out. As a constant reminder of your faith, take I think there's 300 of them out. There's plenty out there. Take one and have ready when you end up at Lowe's or Walmart or wherever you are and say, "My friend, let me share a little bit of faith with you." It's not hard to do. I'm going to close us in prayer before Pastor Jeff takes over. Yes, the prayer room will be manned. I know Pastor Richard's here, Pastor CD's here. I'm going to come down. Maybe you need some quiet time today. Maybe you need to consider, where are you? Do you need to find your faith? Well, you can do it. You need to grow your faith? You can do it. Maybe you just need to renew your faith. This is a praying church, my friends, a praying church. Please come, pray by yourself, go to the prayer room. If you want someone to pray with you, there's plenty of people here that will do that. Come. Come and determine where your faith is. Pastor.